Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I don't know what your need is today, but our God is able to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So whatever your need is, let's lift that up to Him right now. He's the one. He's the one who can take care of whatever's not right. Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus up in this place. May your Spirit fall fresh amongst us. Oh God, that you might do what only you can do and need to do. I pray for homes and families and marriages. Don't let the evil one destroy us. Don't let him lie to us. And when he does lie to us, help us to know the truth. God, I pray for those that are struggling with their health physically. Oh God, minister life. You're a God who still heals. There isn't anything you cannot do. Heal today, Father. And Lord, I pray for those dear brothers and sisters of mine this morning who are lonely. Oh yes, we're in a big crowd, but you can be lonely in the largest crowd on the planet. And so God, I pray that you would restore those. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Lord, we pray for those this morning. We want to lift up the families down in Texas, God. I can't imagine what that would be like. Oh, God, minister life to those dear people. I remember a lot of Texans came up here when we were struggling over in East Tennessee from the results of that hurricane. And so, God, help us to go and to minister life to those dear families. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We continue to pray for Israel. Lord, that you would protect your inheritance there, God, in those ancient chosen people of yours. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do, God. We know that we're not in the last days, we're in the last hours. And I want to pray for our kids who are going off to Hillmont Camp this afternoon. Oh, God, would you do a wonderful work with our young people? I see revival taking place all across the land through young people. God, revive this generation. Generation Z, God, raise them up for such a time as this. And do what only you can do, Lord. I thank you for each and every person that's represented here today. And God, may the Spirit of the living Lord fall fresh on all of us. And when we leave here, God, we'll not only be closer than we've ever been to Jesus, but we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said,
amen. Lord, we come before you and we crown you King of glory. We acknowledge that you are Lord of all. We ask that you pour down your Spirit in this place. Open our eyes, open our hearts, transform us to where we may be changed by what we hear today. Be with Brother Cal as he brings the word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said.
Well, good morning. What a week it's been. I just am amazed at all that God's doing right now. And we're going... You know, last week we had the Rainey's visit with us, and we heard the mission efforts and the mission report, all the things God's doing down in the Dominican Republic. How many of you know God's not just here in Clarksville? He's all over the world. He's working, and it was a blessing to hear what he's doing in the Dominican Republic through Mike and Donna's kids down there. And I'll tell you, God's doing some things right here. He's doing some things through six of us. Come on now. The Lord is blessing right now. And, week before last, we entered into a series of revival messages. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, revival reign. And if you have a copy of God's Word, be finding Hosea chapter 10. And I know that's tucked way over there in the Old Testament. I'll give you a minute to find Hosea. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. All right. If you have found Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, stand as we honor the reading of God's word. We're just going to read verse 12, and I'm going to do my best to, as the Lord leads this morning, to unpack the rest of this chapter. Here it is. Are you ready for this? Come on now. Y'all ready for this?
Yes.
Sow for yourselves righteousness. You know, this is the principle of reaping and sowing. If we will sow righteousness, and we all know what righteousness is. I spent five lessons, five Sundays on holiness, right? Y'all with me? Sow right. Here's the result. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We don't need justice for ourselves. We need mercy. Look at your neighbor and cry, mercy.
Mercy.
All right. Now, here's the deal. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground, you farmers know what that is. That's hard ground. And it needs to be plowed up. Those clods of dirt, the hardness needs to be broken up, plowed under so that you can plant. Break up your fallow ground. Now, he's not talking really about dirt. He's talking about our hard hearts. Our hard hearts. For it is time to seek the Lord. Tell somebody it's time. Till he comes, you do know he's coming. You do know he's coming. Till he comes and rains what? On who? Hallelujah. Father, help us, God, this morning to sow the seeds of righteousness. And God, we can't do that until that hard ground in our hearts is plowed up and broken up. And yet, God, we have everything we need. Let the Holy Spirit plow that ground in our heart today. Oh, God, get rid of this apathy and indifference and unconcern and prayerlessness. Get rid of all that. Please help us, God, today. Break up that fallow ground. Because, Lord, we believe you're coming. And it is time, past time to seek the Lord. Help us to quit playing games. Help us to quit playing church. This is real stuff here, Father. Make it real to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're in the midst of a series of revival. I'm probably going to preach Psalm 85:6 next week. You want to be reading on that, but I'm, you know, back in July of 2016, I've told you all this before, but in July of 2016, Diana and I and Isaac and my kids, my grandkids were all in Waynesboro, and man, we had an unbelievable ministry there. God blessed us, especially the last 7 years we were there. We had true revival. Amen. And it was an amazing, amazing time. But it was in July and August of 2016 that God started speaking to our hearts about coming back home. And the reason God, I think, was calling us to come back, and he used scripture after scripture after scripture in my devotional times and in Diana's and to lead us back home to Clarksville to be a part of a great move of God. And that's what he's doing. He is moving. Now, we just touched the hem of the garment, but God wants to do so much more than what we're experiencing. But in order to do that, we've got to sow righteousness. And in order to sow righteousness, we've got to repent. Whew. This is going to be a tough message. But hallelujah, revival's coming. It's already, well, I'm seeing things happening. I've been in all kinds of prayer meetings this week. We were at a prayer meeting at the courthouse, on the courthouse steps. Politicians were there. There were some intercessors there, some prayer warriors there, and they'd asked me to read this resolution that was passed by both the Tennessee House and Senate and then signed into proclamation by Governor Bill Lee. And it's basically a resolution that says that every July in the state of Tennessee, it's to be a month of prayer and fasting. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Well, I don't believe in keeping the law, Brother Cal. Well, I hope you'll keep this one. Let me say this. It's not a coincidence that this law was passed into place, and here we are in the midst of a 30-day revival in 30 different churches. Come on, y'all. We need to open our eyes and receive and claim what God has for us. I was telling you about these marvelous prayer meetings that are blossoming and breaking up. Dwight Dixon leads a Holy Ghost heaven-sent prayer meeting over at Hilldale on the first and third Monday nights. You ought to come tomorrow night. Is it tomorrow night, Dwight? Tomorrow night? You ought to come. Starts at 6:30. You ought to be there. And then I have a pastor's prayer meeting on Friday morning. And let me tell y'all, the Spirit of the living God fell fresh on 12 pastors Friday morning. We were there for almost 2 hours. I mean, we were all crying and bawling and squalling. I mean, we didn't want to leave. And yet all of us had somewhere, you know how your schedule is, right? Bless God. And so we had to go. But man, it was Holy Ghost. And then this deal on Wednesday at the courthouse. Woo! If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And then yesterday morning, we were praying up here at our sister church at the Christian House of Praise. We call it CHOP. Somebody say CHOP. And so our intercessors went up there. There were 16 of us. And we prayed, and God moved in a powerful way. And I can't even explain or express it. And I hadn't planned on this. And she didn't know that I was going to do this. But you know what? We're just going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit this morning. Where is Sharon Clark? What are you doing in the back, sister? I'd like for Sharon to share with you all what God did in this prayer meeting up here yesterday morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That place was so saturated with the Holy Spirit that I tell you, I almost could not stand up. And we were so honored to be able to pray over the pastor, LT. And you could just see this man soak it in. You could see the love of God in him. He is the real thing. He has such a heart for God that it just overwhelmed me. And the people who came to pray for him and to pray for that service last night and to pray for what that church needed, you could tell they were praying for the very depth of their Holy Spirit that was in them. They were praying in a manner that I have not heard people pray for a long time. They were praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, this young lady up front, Loretta, I heard her pray in a manner I've never heard this lady pray. The Holy Spirit is doing mighty things in her and through her. He is doing mighty things through anyone who will allow him to. And it was so evident. I mean, literally, walls came down yesterday in that prayer meeting. And that place should have been hopping and jumping last night because it was led and fed by the Holy Spirit. And I am just thankful that Frank and I got to be a part of it.
Amen. Amen. And we need to hear from a man. Amen. Amen. This is, we believe in equality, right? I could call on a lot of women here, but I wanted y'all to hear from David. David has been in almost every revival. Loretta's been every night, I think. But I wanted y'all to hear from David and what he's experiencing in these revival meetings. David, come on up here. Please. Just share with them what you're experiencing in these revival meetings.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is obedience. And that's been, I think that's been touched on in the revival. And like Brother Cal said, if we can just be submitted to the Lord, He will do mighty things. And it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with the person. It's all Jesus working through the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I know how long-winded you can be, but you take a minute to share, all right? Just share what God's doing in your life through this.
I've just been Holy Ghost filled. Thursday night, I was blessed with a blessing from Pastor Stevenson, and the Holy Spirit was just so full in that church service, and Pastor Stevenson laid hands on me. I laid hands back, like high fives, and I just felt my whole body just was released of any and everything. And he says, if you receive it, take off running. And you know what? I received it. I ran down the aisleways of that sanctuary. But every single night that I've been there, it's been a blessing. I take copious notes everywhere I go. And let me tell you something, I can go back on these, and I'm getting a blessing every time I reread them. So you should come, seriously.
I'm so proud of you. And this is a little bit different. I hadn't planned on doing all this, but I've told you all about the revival that happened in Waynesboro when we were there. And it all began with prayer. And it was sustained by prayer. And one of the leaders in that revival was this big fella right here, Jimmy Kelly. And I took him to the convention one year up in Nashville. It was at, I think it was at Brentwood. And they'd asked Jimmy to speak. And they'd asked me to speak, my pastor, John Lida, came up to me afterwards. He said, you need to let Jimmy pastor that church up there. He can preach better than you can. It was an amazing time. Jimmy, just share quickly just about what God did during that season of our lives up there. Y'all welcome Jimmy.
You know, I never had any desire to stand up in front of a church and speak. But one of the things that happened during this time of revival is the Lord began to change some of my want-tos. And some of the things I'd never wanted to do, I found myself doing. So I'm just a simple old country boy, and standing up here in Clarksville, Tennessee with a microphone in my hand is not who I am at all. So that's one of the things that God did, is He kind of changed my direction. And something that comes to mind, we had some guys that we were praying with on Wednesday nights, and that we were praying on Saturday night. And let me tell y'all, there's power in prayer.
Hallelujah.
David said, I sought the Lord and He heard. Well, we sought the Lord and He heard. Now, there's some guys I'm going to name. You all don't know them, but Cal and Diana does, and I do. Some of you might know them. Babe Staggs, Tubby Mathis, Ralph Horton, Jeff Stiles. I hope I don't leave somebody out, but I probably will. But those guys come to mind, and they were there praying on Wednesday night, and they were soaking the floor with tears. And the Bible says if we sow with tears, we'll reap with joy. All those guys I just named to you, they're not here anymore. They've gone on to be with the Lord. And I'm reminded of what Brother Jeff Stiles said. He told me one time, you can be just as close to Jesus as you want to be. So I think we all ought to think about that and ask ourselves, just how close to Jesus am I wanting to be today? And I know I'm convicted many times by that. But what I want to tell you, those guys I named, a lot of the things we prayed about, their prayers now have been answered. And I'm still here to see that. Hallelujah. I'm still here to see that, but all those guys are gone. So Jesus may be giving them a glimpse of that from heaven, but they never saw it while they were here. There's a fellow that E.D. Miller prayed for. He's one of the ones I might have left out. E.D. Miller prayed for a guy named Mike. And I'm not going to share Mike's last name because I hadn't asked him if I could. But E.D. would soak the floor praying for Mike. And Mike wanted nothing to do. You see, what had happened to Mike, he'd had a little baby. And just a few weeks after they had this baby, found out his wife was sick. And she had cancer and she died just a few weeks later. So he's left here with this little baby. And Mike's not a believer. And he's asking, how could a loving God do this? And so E.D. began to pray for Mike. I began to pray for Mike. Cal, a lot of us did. We were praying for Mike. Well, now, let me tell you about Mike. You can go into the second service down at Mars Hill Baptist Church in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and there's not a person in that place that's lifting their hands higher than Mike. There's not a person in that place who's loving Jesus more than Mike. E.D. sowed with tears, and he reaped with joy. Now, I hadn't planned on sharing this, but I'm going to share it before I give this microphone back. I've got a situation going on in my family right now. My wife and I, we have one daughter and a son-in-law who's our ex-son-in-law now. They were both on fire for the Lord, okay? And they've turned and walked away. They won't even allow our grandkids to go to church. This is breaking our heart. And I've already had 3 heart attacks. And, of course, my wife, she saw what this was doing to me. I was laying in bed at night, couldn't even sleep. And I would pray. I'd fall asleep. I'd take a little nap, wake up and pray again, and then get up and go to work the next day, not even able to go to work because I hadn't slept. And my wife said, you're going to kill yourself if you don't give this to God. My wife's a nurse, and she works a lot of Sundays. That's why she's not here with me today. She said, you are going to kill yourself if you don't let God have this and turn it over to him. So I woke up one Sunday morning. It was June 25th of 2023, and I walked into a church where I never had been. Why did I go there? Because I didn't even want to be around anybody. I was so embarrassed about what was going on. I was so ashamed, and I was mad. I had all these feelings going on. And it was really hard for me to pray for my daughter and son-in-law because I was so mad at them. But I was praying a lot for those 2 little grandsons. And I walked into this church service. Nobody there knew me. I didn't know anybody there. Didn't even know the pastor's name, I don't think. First Sunday I walked in there, June 25th, 2023. Had these grandsons on my mind. One of the last things I'd shared with my daughter and son-in-law during all this was a story of the prodigal son. I said, you know, he loved his children, but he had to let his son go and see for himself. And I said, I'm going to let y'all go and see for yourself because I know what you're doing is wrong. And I'm not going to come to the hog pen every day and beg you to come home, but I'll be praying for you, and I'm sure not going to get in the hog pen and wallow with you. So that was one of the first last things I told them before they shut me out and quit even listening to anything I had to say at all. But let me tell you about the power of prayer. I've been praying this whole time, and I walked into that church service, and as soon as I walked in, the song they were singing is, this is a song of a prodigal coming home. Never been there before in my life. Nobody there knew my story. Probably only a handful of people there even knew who I was. After that, the worship leader got up with a microphone in his hand, and he said, I just feel like there's somebody that walked in here today. Now, keep in mind, he didn't know me. I just think there's somebody that's walked in here today. And you're right on the verge of giving up and quitting. He said, maybe a father or a grandfather. He said, for name's sake, I'm going to say your name's Jim or Jimmy. Well, my name is Jim, and I've been called, or Jimmy, and I've been called Jim most of my life. And I knew God was in that then. So these 2 little grandsons that I've been praying for so much, the pastor stood up, and looked to his left. I was sitting in the right side of the sanctuary. It would have been the pastor's left. And he looked just like this. He zeroed in on me. He never turned his head one way or the other. He didn't even know who I was. And he said, I want to tell you. He said, I grew up in a home. We never went to church. We never opened the Word of God. And he said, my parents wanted nothing to do with any of that. But he said, my grandparents were strong believers, and that made the difference. He never took his eyes off of me. Listen, folks. I could go on all day. Prayer matters. That's what I'm trying to say to you. He hears, and he told me that day, I hear every prayer you're praying. Now, this situation hadn't been resolved yet, but I know he's in control, and I know he hears. Prayer matters.
Hallelujah. I was praying this morning for 158 pastors like I do every Sunday morning. And I was praying for some pastors in Waynesboro. And Diane and I spent 20 years. You can't spend 20 years somewhere and just walk away and forget about it, you know. But God laid his face on my mind this morning. And I saw him. Just clear as day. And I walk in here and I'm shaking hands, saying hi to everybody. And I walk around the corner. Here's Jimmy Kelly sitting right here. Hallelujah. Why are you so passionate, Pastor, about revival? I want everybody in this church house to get what he's talking about. And let me tell you something else. I love revival meetings, but revival meetings don't bring revival. Prayer brings revival. Prayer and seeking the face of God and humbling ourselves before him and turning from our wicked ways. Repentance. That's what's going to bring a great move of God. You may not be there yet, but let me tell you, trouble's coming. And God's going to use whatever he wants to use to get our eyes focused again on him. And so I don't y'all want to have what we're talking about? Don't you really want it? Look at this, y'all. I don't usually bring a manuscript, but I've got three pages of stuff here. It's 9 minutes to 10. And so I'm just going to lay this down. Maybe we'll preach this some other time. But let me go back to verse 12. This is the key verse. Israel was in sin. She's worshiping in that, what the Bible calls high places. They had built these shrines and these pagan altars to these false gods all over the hills in Israel. And they were burning incense and praying to pagan gods. They were sacrificing on the altar to foreign gods. And they had male and female prostitutes at these high places. And they would do all kinds of sexual stuff to incite the fertility gods. I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on. And yet, a part of them, they would go down to Jerusalem for the feast days and then come back to Bethel and Dan to worship golden calves that King Jeroboam had built. And so it was a terrible time spiritually. And Hosea, let me just quickly tell you about Hosea. He is a prophet of the northern kingdom. You remember they had civil war in Israel and they split the 10 tribes, went north, and then you had the two tribes in the southern kingdom. And Hosea's primary responsibility was to preach and prophesy to the folks up in the northern kingdom. And God told him to go marry a prostitute as a visual aid to the people of God that they were committing spiritual adultery against their covenant-keeping God. And this prostitute, her name was Gomer. What a great name for a girl. And she gave him three, and the three children's names were Jezreel, which means God sows or God scatters, and in the negative, it's judgment. And then the second child was named No Mercy, and the third child's name was Not My Children, Not My People. And so judgment was coming upon Israel. God was going to wipe out all the idolatry and the apostasy and the immorality. Let me tell you, folks, God is long-suffering. But there comes a point in time when God says, enough is enough. And that's right where America is today. If you don't believe that, come up out of that ostrich hole you're in. We're in a mess. This country's such... oh. But here's hope in the midst of all this stuff. And here it is. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord. Till He comes and rains righteousness on you. The scripture tells us there in verse 2 that Israel had divided hearts. In other words, they're trying to keep one foot over here in the world and one foot over here in the kingdom. And can I just tell you, when you try to do that, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get messed up. And the Bible says that you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You can't serve God and mammon. And we've got divided hearts in this country. Our churches are just the same. You can't hardly tell. It's hard to tell somebody who's out here just living in the world apart from a church member anymore. We act like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world, live like the world, do the things the world does. And so, no wonder. Now, I'm not just talking about Second Mile Church here. Y'all get that, right? When I say the church, we're talking about thousands of fellowships across the country. But bless God, it is time to seek the Lord. Amen. It is time to seek the Lord. I'm too old to be playing games. I'm 68 years old. Some of these girls over here, so you're just a spring chicken. Don't you want what we're talking about? Man, those last 7 years, Jimmy, in Waynesboro, I get tears, boy, every time I start thinking about it. Record offerings, mission trips out of this world, baptisms. The Tennessean came down to interview us because we were baptizing so many people in the city pool. And there wasn't 2,500 people that lived in the city. It wasn't even a city, it was a town, right, Jimmy? I mean, God moved in a great way, and I so want what we had there to come here. But you know what? It doesn't need to be the same, but we just need revival. And it's got to start with us. It has to start with us. When is He going to get off of this stuff? When we get it. We ought to be filling this place up on Wednesday night with prayer warriors. I was so proud of our intercessors up here yesterday. Man, I can't run anymore, and I wanted to run around the building. Prayer. That's what's going to usher this stuff in. And not just these sweet little prayers, but prayers. As He's talking about people weeping. If you'll sow with tears, you'll reap with joy. And I know I can't work this stuff up, but the Holy Spirit can. And this isn't about getting emotional. This is about rock-ribbed conviction. About what we need. I wished I had time to just go around and interview everybody here today. What is it you need? What is it that you desire? What is it that you want? If you've ever been close to Jesus, you remember those sweet hours and those sweet days. We used to sing a song. There shall be showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. How many of you have never heard that song before? That's an old hymn. That's what we need, not just mercy drops. We need showers, revival, rain to fall. Jimmy, I don't know where to land this plane this morning, brother. Proverbs 14:24 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and his people as his own special inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May we return to the Lord. May it begin. And bless God, it's got to begin with us, each person individually. It's got to begin with me. And I'm going to stand here and tell you before God, he is doing a new work, a fresh work in my life. He's reviving my spirit. Everybody needs revival. And I'm praying that God would stir your heart this morning. And that he would do great and mighty things. That's our verse for the year, Jeremiah 33:3. God's telephone number, call unto me. Hello, Dr. Jesus, I need you. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Amen. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Don't you want to see God do something that we've never seen before, yes, that we don't know? Wouldn't you like to see that? I know I would. And so let's just have a time of prayer, heartfelt prayer. Y'all, I know. It's out of your comfort zone to get out of your chair and come to the front. But let me tell you, if you know anything about the scriptures, an altar is a special place. It's a place to lay your burdens down. It's a place to seek the face of God. It's a place to get right with God. Now, you can do that in your seat, but there's no accountability when that happens. None. Just you and God. But when you come and pour out your heart to God, there are people here, man, I want to join them in prayer. I want to get with them in prayer. And that's where we need to go. That's where we need to go. Andrew, you come on. Just play something for us while we're during this altar call. And I don't know what your need is or where you're at spiritually, whether you're lukewarm or cold or hot, I don't know. But God does. And he's the one that can restore unto you what he needs to restore. Father, during this time, please forgive me for trying to stir anything up in the flesh. But God, my heart is so saturated with this stuff that we've been so focused on in July. I desperately want to see this church catch fire for God and get out in our community and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Oh God, we want to sow righteousness this morning so that we can reap mercy. We deserve judgment as a nation. But judgment begins in the house of God. It's got to happen here first. So Lord, lead us to prayer. Lead us to a time of repentance. Lead us in a time of seeking your face. I believe there's folks here that have never been to an altar, and yet God, you're calling them right now to get up out of their seat and come and seek your face here with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh God, do it. Do it, Lord. Maybe your family's in disarray. Maybe you've got issues going on in your neighborhood. Or maybe your kid's being bullied at school. Or maybe there's some other issue. God is here. He is with us. You come. They'll let you out. Just tap the person and they'll let you out of your row. You come on right now. Hallelujah. You young people that are going to camp to Hillmont. That's a special place. The Holy Spirit touches down at Hillmont Camp. If you want to come, we'll be glad to pray over you. If you're a young person here, we'll be glad to touch you with prayer. Just come on. Just come on. Hallelujah. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the altar for you. You come. It's an issue of salvation. Man, we'd love to share the gospel with you. Just come on. If you're not right with God, you don't know Him, come on. That's right. Just come on. We got plenty of time. You come. Hallelujah. Maybe your kids. We need to cover your kids in prayer. What are you waiting on? Come on. Did you notice the last part of that course said, revive us again? In other words, that tells you you need it again and again and again and again, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have a propensity to wander. And that's what today's about. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Lord, I know I didn't preach this 45-minute sermon that I had laid out. But God, when it really gets good is when you're preaching and when you're teaching and when you're placing conviction on people's hearts. That's when real revival begins to take place. And so, God, teach us to pray. Men ought always to pray. And not lose heart. Oh God, we're not supposed to be anxious about anything, but we're to pray about everything with thanksgiving. And we're to pray without ceasing. Oh God, make prayer warriors out of each one of us. And I believe what the Word says, if we will pray, you will hear. And when we pray in the right attitude, you will answer. And God, this church needs revival. This pastor needs revival. I want to thank you for what you're doing in my heart of hearts. But God, our church, this community, the churches in Clarksville need revival. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ all around the world needs revival. So that others might meet our great King, King Jesus. We love you, Lord. It's in your powerful name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you would like to give God praise this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity we have to give. And may our giving say to you, we love you and we're so grateful for you. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.